Do you feel like things are getting more expensive, Carmela?
I don't think I just feel like they are. I think they are.
But what are we going to do if wine keeps getting more expensive? Look, I got to figure it out. Our solution is to do what we're going to do today, and that is finding high QPR Pinot Noirs. And that means wines that are a great value for the money.
Oh, sounds good to me.
Hello, and welcome to the Wine Pair Podcast. I'm Joe, your sommelier of reasonably priced wine, and this is my wife and my wine pairing partner in crime, Carmela.
Hi there.
And we are the Wine Pair.
Woo!
All right, a quick orientation for those of you who may be new to the podcast. In each episode, what we do is we learn about and we taste and we give our honest review of three wines that are reasonably priced, which means under $20, and should be easy for you to find. And our podcast, Carmela, is made for people who want to learn more about wine, people who want to find new wines to enjoy, and people who just want someone to talk about wine in a fun way that normal people can understand. Does that sound like you?
It sounds like me and sounds like what we do.
And then you're in the right place if that also sounds like you. And we are proud to say that we are recommended by the editors of Decanter Magazine, who call us fun, irreverent, and entertaining.
I feel like we're on a Disneyland ride or something.
Why? Because I'm just
know,
like,
and just the tone of your voice. You're
I got to bring the energy.
What's that one ride that, you know? The one, you know, it sounds like you, how you're talking.
I don't know. But you'll remember it in an hour. Okay. Carmela, this week we are back to one of my favorite topics. Okay. And one that many of our listeners seem to like as well, as far as I can tell. And that is trying to find good Pinot Noirs that are reasonably priced, which, to be frank, is just getting harder and harder. No, I'm not Frank, but I do have a cousin named Frank that
and
I'm going to talk about. Yeah, in a little bit.
Really?
But that is the reason. Yes, that is the reason for the title of this episode. It is our third foray into this topic of finding high QPR Pinot Noir. And just to clarify, once again, for those of you who may not quite remember, QPR means
quality price ratio.
That's right. And the higher that quality to price ratio, the better.
That's right.
And so we are back on our quest of finding a wine with high quality for its price, which for our podcast, that price means under $20. And some people will tell you, and I'm going to talk about my cousin Frank, some people will tell you that finding high quality Pinot Noir under $20 is a fool's errand.
Right. Wait, now does Frank have a different feeling about that?
Yes. In fact, Frank, he actually makes wine. He lives in Portland, Oregon. He makes wine at home.
This is your cousin Frank's son, Frank.
Yes, hence my cousin Frank.
Right, right. But I was thinking you're talking about, okay, I know who you're talking about.
Okay. I knew it.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, that cousin Frank lives in Portland and he makes wine, not as for a living, but like on his own, but he makes good wine. And that is the state where some people say the best Pinot Noir outside of Burgundy is grown and made. He will argue very strongly that it can't be done. You cannot find a good Pinot Noir. He wouldn't even say under $20. He'd say like under $40.
So you had this conversation with him.
You totally.
Oh.
And but we're here to prove Frank wrong.
Oh, wow. Listen in, Frank.
Yep. Listen in, Frank, because we're going to try and prove you wrong.
That's right.
All right. So in a few minutes.
I believe in you, Joe.
Oh, wow. Thanks. I'm glad you didn't say I believe in you, Frank. That would have been really rough on me. Okay. In a few minutes, we're going to spend some time talking about the difference between old world Pinot Noir, like those found in Burgundy, with New World Pinot Noir, and in particular, those found in the United States.
The U.S. of A.
Mm-hmm. And by the by, I do find wines different in those regions. I just do. That's me. So we'll talk a bit about the American palate and why it can be different from the European palate and so on and so forth. But before we do that, I do want to spend a little time just talking about wine prices in general, because it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone to hear that wine prices have been going up just like everything else.
Right.
And I've been saying this in some of our episodes recently, but I'm really wondering how long we're going to be able to keep that bar for our reasonably priced wines under $20.
It's a tough one.
I know.
Have you been, I mean, you have been finding it difficult. Then,
Definitely. And according to an article from Forbes, which you can find in our show notes, if you go to this episode and you click on the sun, you look for this and scroll down, the pricing sweet spot for bigger wine brands in the United States is $15 to $25. It's that price range. And so our bar for reasonably priced wine in this podcast is $20, so right in the middle of that range. Mm-hmm. But again, I wonder if that range is going to change. Now, what the article also says is that American consumers, and I'm assuming this is true for consumers in other countries as well, are starting to spend more per bottle, but drinking less wine overall.
You think so?
Yeah, well, that's what this article says.
It's too expensive to keep up the volume of wine you might want to drink.
Well, I think that's part of it. I think part of what people are doing is they're choosing quality over quantity.
Oh, that's not a terrible thing.
No, it's not. So, and I think that makes sense. Like coming out of the pandemic, I think we've done a little bit of that. We're like, I'm not as afraid to spend a little bit more on wine because we're just not quite drinking as much.
Right, right. And, which is a good thing for our health.
It's true. Drinking three wines is a dangerous thing to be doing.
Right, dangerous
we
habit.
Don't drink the whole bottle, okay?
Well,
tonight.
No, we don't.
We won't drink it all tonight.
Right, right, okay.
Now, in fact, according to a website called the Wine Industry Advisor, which sounds, again, like a website that you should be able to trust, the average retail price for a bottle of wine has been rising primarily because American consumers are doing this. They're trading up. Mm. So higher-end price tiers of wines are outperforming lower-tier price bands of wines. Mm. And that's coming despite the economic challenges and inflation and high interest rates.
Do you think
rates.
It has to do with, like, they're choosing to spend
drink,
a little
drink
bit
less,
more.
But spend more.
Yeah.
Now, a quality wine is hard to find at a reasonable price. I will say that. Okay. It is true, mm-hmm. right? Because there's a reason, there should be a reason why a wine is more expensive. One wine is more expensive than another wine.
Sure.
It should have something to do with quality. And again, like in the U.S., the best Pinot Noir is said to come from Oregon, and specifically the Willamette Valley of Oregon. And while it's hard to kind of like pinpoint a specific price range, according to the Oregon Wine Press, the average price per bottle for Oregon Pinot Noirs is between $25 and $40. Mm. And I'd say
That's expensive.
Mm-hmm. And I actually think a lot of times you'll find much more expensive wines like than that in Oregon. Mm. And then if you go to places like restaurants, you know, it's going to be like three times more because of the bottle markup.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, Carmela, finding high QPR wines is such an important area of focus for us. It's why we're so concentrated on it. It's kind of like the promise of why we put this podcast together.
It gets us up each morning.
It's right. We wake up each morning and we say, are you ready to podcast?
High QPR.
Wine. Oh, if I can do that.
This is the day.
But we do. We all want to get good quality and not spend a lot of money, right? Mm-hmm. So on that note, again, we're going to talk about the difference between Old World and New World wines. And we have three Pinot Noirs that we're going to taste and review. And we're not going to drink them down. We're going to taste and review three Pinot Noirs that are all under $20, believe it or not. But first,
you got to do our shameless plug.
That's right. So we want to thank you for listening to us and for supporting our show. And if you haven't had the chance to do so yet, now would be a really good time to subscribe to our podcast. It's free, Carmela. It is free.
Mm-hmm.
And a huge thank you to all of you who have subscribed already. And another great way to support us is to leave a nice rating and review. You can do that on our website. You can do that on Apple Podcasts. And we would really appreciate it. And mm-hmm. thank you to all of you who have left a nice rating and review. And you can also follow us and see pictures of the wines we're tasting and trying today on Instagram at the Wine Pair Podcast. And you can contact us on our website, thewinepairpodcast.com. And there you can sign up for our email newsletter and get news and food and wine pairings and recipes. And you just missed our latest newsletter. But I promise you, if you email me at joe@thewinepairpodcast.com, I will forward you our latest newsletter,
just
because I love you so much.
Wow.
Yes.
Because it means that much.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It does. And as we do every week, we'll tell you someone we think you should tell about the Wine Pair Podcast. And this week, we want you to tell anyone, and you probably know a lot of people like this, who are complaining about the cost of things, especially the cost of wine. So when you hear somebody complaining about how expensive things are, just mm-hmm. stop them and say, I've got a solution for you. Listen to the Wine Pair Podcast and you send them this episode.
Wow. Even if they don't drink wine. If they're just complaining
especially
about...
Especially if they don't drink wine.
Complaining
no, that
about prices. Yeah. Just say, hey, I know where to find high QPR.
Exactly. I know
for
you're
wine.
Talking about gas.
For wine.
I know you're
only
talking about gas.
Wine, though.
Yeah. I know you're talking about gasoline prices, but what about wine?
Yeah.
And
then if
go.
They're like, look, you know that I don't drink. And then you'll go, yeah, but
you should
you're
still listen to the podcast. So? They're so entertaining and chatty and fun and irreverent.
Yeah.
You should listen.
Mm-hmm.
I think I added fun in there. I don't know. Huh. Okay. Okay, Carmela. I do want to spend a few minutes talking about Pinot Noir from Burgundy and then Pinot Noir from other places that are made outside of Europe and outside of France and Burgundy, and particularly in the United States. Okay, so one thing that we do talk a lot about on this podcast is about how the American palate has just sort of been tuned to be attracted to a certain kind of flavor profile in wine. And that tends to be higher alcohol, fruitier, more sugary, highly oaked, lower acid. That's just kind of the style of wine that is overwhelmingly found in America. We call it a punch you in the face wine. But some people might just say a cocktail wine. Oh. So like a wine that you can just drink.
Sip hanging out with
people. You don't have to have any food with it. Just appeal to the drinker right away. It's like, you know, people who just want a lot of flavor and just drink something, right? Mm-hmm. So, and as we often say too, this is not really the kind of wine that you and I are most attracted to. And so, again, we'll say it, that you can judge whether or not you'll like a wine that we taste by comparing and contrasting our preferences to yours. You may disagree with us, and that's totally fine. Right. We're good with that. We know there are tons of people that really love those big,
bold. Don't come after us.
Don't come after us. We're good with you, bro.
It's okay.
We're good with you, bro. But no, there are lots of people that really prefer that big, bold flavor profile, and that's totally fine. I mean, we will judge you. But we still like you.
You will judge them.
I will, yes.
I probably will not.
You're right. I'm a judger.
Mm-hmm. You are.
You're
a finger pointer.
J or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so now, Pinot Noir. Pinot Noir is a grape variety that originated in Burgundy, France, right? And one of the main factors that will influence the style and quality of a Pinot Noir, and maybe arguably the most important factor, is the climate of where that grape is grown. Mm-hmm. So now, according to wine experts, Pinot Noir is a delicate and sensitive grape. It's kind of like me.
Wow.
Delicate and
sensitive. Does it have a ponytail too?
No.
I mean, you don't have a ponytail.
I don't either. No. I have a bald spot. Okay. And it's also a grape that prefers cool to moderate climates.
Oh, wow. You're
like me.
More like you.
And it ripens.
Are you a grape?
It ripens slowly, which creates higher acidity and less sweetness. Like me.
Well, you used to be sweeter.
I did. Now, but as I've ripened slowly,
a little bit,
I'm more acid and less sweet.
Yes, for sure. Oh, boy. Now, I'm starting to pucker just being around you.
Now, in warmer...
Not to kiss you, though.
No, not pucker. So, like, because you're getting that taste out of your mouth. Okay. Yes. No, in warmer climates, Pinot Noir loses some of that acidity. It loses some of that freshness. And it produces wines that are more jammy and higher in alcohol. So this kind of is the classic difference between Pinot Noirs produced in Europe and those in the United States. Because Pinots in the U.S. tend to come from warmer climates, not cooler climates, right? Especially true of California wines. 85% of the wine in the United States is produced in California. Hmm. That's a warm weather state.
Right.
Now, there are cool climate areas, but in general, it's a warmer weather state. And so California dominates the wine industry in the United States. So it's not a huge surprise that the flavor profiles that are common in California wines are the most common in the United States, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what people are tuned to. Hmm. So now, according to some research that I did on the interwebs, Carmela.
Okay.
Pinot Noir from Burgundy tends to be more delicate, acidic, and earthy than Pinot Noir from other regions. Okay. Burgundy Pinot Noir is often, you didn't say anything. Burgundy, I was like thrown off by that. I thought you were going to make some sarcastic comment about me or
something. Remember, I don't have a script.
You were just, struck dumb by that one. Yeah.
I'm like, sometimes I don't know. Should I interject or not?
I don't know. And then you do and I get mad and you don't and I get mad. So it doesn't matter. Okay.
But keeping you on your toes.
That's right. Woohoo. But Burgundy Pinot Noir is often described as having aromas and flavors of red fruits like cherry and strawberry. Strawberry and raspberry and flowers like rose and violet and spices like clove and cinnamon. Okay. On the other hand, Pinot Noir from the United States, especially from California and Oregon, tend to be more fruit forward, more heavily oaked, and higher in alcohol and more highly extracted. And I want to talk about extraction for just a second because it's a total wine nerd term, but it's kind of interesting. So, what it means when a wine is extracted. So, it's how it's treated during the fermentation process to draw out more flavor. Mm. So basically, this is what happens. When a wine is fermenting in a big barrel or in a big vat or whatever, things like grape skins and seeds and stems like they float to the top of the fermenting vessel, and that's called the cap. And so to extract more flavor, winemakers
squeeze.
Push it. No, they push the cap down to the juice, or sometimes they pour
they
juice over
it.
Kind of. Okay. They may squeeze it. And sometimes they also will pour juice, like the fermenting juice, over it to kind of like get more flavor. Mm. Now, American wines, especially cheaper American wines, tend to be heavily extracted, meaning they keep pushing that crap down into the juice, and then they make wines that are really high in tannin, they're kind of astringent, kind of alcohol-y, and they have a big mouthfeel. And that's why we use this term punch you in the face, because these heavily extracted American wines kind of punch you in the face. But that's why American wines are, you know, they're warmer climate, they're more heavily extracted, they use American oaks, which are stronger, and it's just a different style of wine than those found in Europe, and especially like Pinot Noirs in Burgundy. So now, these are generalizations, like it's not true across the board, but I think the difference is that European Pinot Noirs are a little more subtle in flavor, they're meant to be drunk with food, and they're lower in alcohol. And I think for this reason, that's why a lot of Americans don't tend to love these European wines or European Pinot Noirs, because they're just not used to it.
Right.
They're used to a bigger, bolder kind of wine.
For them.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And it's not good or bad. It's just how it is and how people like to taste their wine. And I do have a really good article in our show notes that you can, again, get on our website that gives you more information. But that's I think that's enough about that, Carmela.
Okay.
And I think we should finally get to these wines that we're going to taste today to see if we can find a high QPR Pinot Noir. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. As usual, ready or not, here I come. So as usual, Carmela, all of the wines we've chosen for this episode are under $20. And in fact, all of these wines are under $14.
Whoa.
And they're Pinot Noirs.
Wow.
Right? So if these are good, they're going to be real, real good bargains. Mm-hmm. And all of them should be relatively easy to find because I bought them all on wine.com. And some of these wines I know you can find in other places like bigger wine shops and grocery stores. And they're all American Pinot Noirs. And all of them have a 90 rating from a reputable wine reviewer. And so these are going to have a legit chance to be high QPR. Because we didn't pick crap, bottom of the barrel, whatever. Like, they got ratings from reputable reviewers.
Great. That's what we like.
You're so excited. Okay. The first wine.
Are you ready?
You're just like, shut up and let's drink. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the first wine we're going to try is called the Rickshaw Pinot Noir. And it comes from a few different areas in California, including Santa Barbara and Monterey. And the wine is said to come from coastal, cool climate vineyards. And the wine is fermented in small batches in both stainless steel and French oak. So it's oaked, but it's French oak. And French oak tends to be a little bit more mellow than American oak. Mm. Now, the wine is relatively high in alcohol for a Pinot Noir at 13.5%. I think a lot of times European Pinots are like 13% or lower. And some of that likely has to do with the fact that in 2021, which is the year this wine was released or the grapes came from, there was not a lot of rain and the temperatures were kind of mild. The winery also sources grapes from many different places, and they say they do seek out sustainable vineyards.
Okay.
And this wine got a 90 rating from wine enthusiasts.
Okay.
So high hopes that it's a high QPR Pinot Noir.
Nice.
The second wine we're going to review today is called Ghost Pines Winemaker's Blend Pinot Noir. And this is from 2016, so it's an older wine. And it got a 90 rating from Wine Spectator and was number 95 on their top 100 wine list in 2018.
Wow.
And on a total side note, we used a Ghost Pines wine in our Halloween episode last year.
I thought so.
It wasn't this wine. It was a Chardonnay. But we chose it because the name and the label were good for Halloween. And we're kind of close to Halloween anyway. And I love Halloween. Mm-hmm. It's super fun.
Is that why you chose this one?
Kind of.
Oh, okay.
But it also had a good rating. I mean, number 95 on the top 100 wine list for Wine Spectator.
I know, amazing.
It's kind of a big deal. Mm-hmm. And it's cheap. Like, it is inexpensive.
Wow.
So we're going to see. And then from what I can tell from the tasting notes and the way the winery describes it, I do think this is going to be a very California style of Pinot Noir. And the alcohol is kind of high. It's almost 14%. It's 13.9%. Mm. But the winery says this about the wine. Far from your typical light-bodied Pinot, our Ghost Pines Pinot Noir is an altogether bigger and bolder expression. So I don't want to prejudge it, but I am betting that we might not totally love this wine. It might not be what we expect from a Pinot Noir, but again, top 100 should be a good wine.
Right. So we're going to find open-minded.
That's right. And then the last wine we're going to try is called the Underwood Pinot Noir. And we've definitely had this wine before, but we've had it in a can
form. I was just going to say, they make a lot of canned wine.
They do. And we've had their Pinot Noir in a can. This is the Pinot Noir in a bottle. And I did, even though we've tasted it before in the can, it's a pretty common wine. It's pretty easy to find. And so I think it's a good, you know, it's like, if people are looking for a high QPR Pinot Noir and they're going to be looking for something that they can easily find, this is a good option if we think it's a good wine.
Mm-hmm.
And this is their 2021 vintage, and Wine Enthusiasts gave this wine a 90 rating and called it a best buy. So again, really good potential for a high QPR wine. There wasn't a lot of other information about the wine. The grapes are sourced from Oregon. That's all they say. Ah. They do claim the wine is vegan and gluten-free. And this is the lowest alcohol of the bunch at just 13%. So maybe this will be a little bit more in that European style, but we're going to find out in just a few minutes.
Wow.
Well, not even a few minutes.
I was going to say, you are long-winded tonight.
I'm giving sad face. No. I'm giving sad face. But I do have to say, there was a little pause in there where we were having a side conversation, me and Carmela, and we're not going to share it with you. So there you go.
Wait, I don't know what you're talking about.
What are you talking about? We had a conversation. At one point, you said, it's just you and me. And I took that to mean this wasn't meant for consumption.
But wait, why are you bringing that up?
Because you said I was really chatty.
I said long-winded.
Oh, I don't know.
Do you think you're long-winded because of we hit that side conversation?
I just think that I'm more talking more for what the people are going to hear.
Okay.
There were other things where you were talking that they're not going to hear about. And they never will hear about it.
No.
No, because it's a private conversation, people.
It was serious.
We don't share everything that we talk about.
I mean, it was serious.
It was serious. I'm still I'm still reeling from it. No, it wasn't that serious. Okay. We were just having a discussion about prices, I think. Yeah, I don't know.
It wasn't a big deal.
No, it wasn't. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And if you have these wines or similar wines, Pinot Noir, you want to drink along with us and get participation points, please do. But we'll be right back.
Okay,
we are back and we are ready to try our first wine. So I'll explain it while Carmela smells it. I can almost talk. Okay, this is the Rickshaw Pinot Noir. It's from California, just California. That's all we can say. It's a 2021. It was $10.99, Carmela. Come on. We got a wine.com, 13.5% alcohol, 100% Pinot Noir, as far as we know. And again, Wine Enthusiast gave it a 90. And before you say what it smells like, I will say it's got a nice light color like a lot of Pinot Noirs have.
Yeah, it's very pretty and it is light and you can definitely see the red on it.
For sure.
I mean, it's kind of Halloween like.
Whoa, blood.
It's blood. I mean, look at the bottom of the lighting there.
Oh, it's spooky.
Ooh, I like it.
Spooky,
it's very pretty.
Pooky. All right, what do you smell?
Well, I'm getting some matchstick on it.
Yeah, a little smoke.
Yeah, you know, I mean, but more like a fresh match being struck.
Okay, I'm getting more like smoke, like cedar smoke or something like that.
Okay.
Definitely getting cherries.
Mm-hmm. What type of a cherry? Like a dark cherry?
No, not a dark cherry. Okay. Kind of a lighter cherry. It's got that little bit of that cherry candy or cherry licorice-y kind of smell to it. It's not quite as sweet as that, but because I think that matchstick or smoke kind of flavor kind of changes it a little bit, but I can definitely smell it.
Yeah. No, it's nice.
I think maybe I'm smelling a little bit, when I swirl it around, a little bit earthiness, like little leaves, like fall leaves.
Ooh, because it's fall.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm being influenced.
I can get behind that. Maybe even a little herb on it, too.
Or grass and clay, a little clay. Okay. Let's try it and see what we think.
Okay.
Ooh,
that's different.
It's not quite what I expected.
No. I'm not getting a lot of fruit on the taste.
Mm-mm.
I don't know what it is. A tomato.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I'm getting a little bit of that vegetable taste on it. Not a real Pinot.
No, it doesn't have it's not very cherry tasting. No. I'm getting more like wood and smoke and oak and barrels and that kind of stuff.
When you said it was, wasn't it French oak?
Yeah, French oak. Mm-hmm. So,
which is a little less. Oh,
no, French oak is not as strong as American oak, but it's still, you know, it's like it can impart some pretty strong flavors. I don't know. I'm kind of wondering if this wine is just young, like it needs a little bit more time. Because it's not, you're right, it doesn't have a ton of fruit on it.
No, it kind of tastes like the Hope Chest. We have a Hope Chest.
Yeah, it kind of does. Kind of smells or tastes like the Hope Chest smells.
Yeah. A little bit old, but it, I mean, but I think it's more, not that it's off. It's just more of a, actually like a young smell. Like you said.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Maybe it's just too young.
I mean, taste, I'm sorry. Yeah.
But it really doesn't have, it's kind of astringent. It's almost got like a little bit of like astringency, like almost like if it is cherry, if there's any cherry in it at all, it's like it's super heavily alcoholed. Yes. You know, almost like you, like a cherry, the inside of a cherry cordial, almost like a cherry liqueur. It's almost like if it was going to be any cherry, like a Kirsch, like a Kirsch liqueur.
Right. Well, and the high alcohol, I think, is it's not favoring it very well.
I agree. Yeah. I think it kind of overpowers the wine.
Doesn't need that. Yeah.
And this to me may be one of those things where they're like, hey, Americans like higher alcohol wines. And maybe it just kind of just tweaked the wine too much. Yeah. I don't know.
Hmm.
Well, what food might you pair with this Rickshaw Pinot Noir?
Ooh, well, you know what? It's hard. I would probably say, I am not a big red meat person, but I did have a cheeseburger today.
Yeah.
Out of the blue.
Which is unusual for her.
So unusual. But unusual. I was with my son and we went to a local hamburger spot
called
together.
Dick's
Burgers. So I did have a cheeseburger. I think it would do okay with a cheeseburger.
I think it's made for grilled meats, steaks, heavier red meats, grilled, particularly like grilled and charred meat. Because it kind of has a charred meat. You kind of said this. But it kind of has a charred meat. Well, no, you said tomato.
Yeah.
But it kind of has a charred meat kind of taste to it, almost.
A little bit, yeah. The charred, because you're getting so much smoke and wood and match and that kind of fire. You know, yeah, I could see that. Flame.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree. Hmm. Okay. Well, let's rate it. So as a reminder, on a rating scale, we rate on a scale of 1 to 10 with no halvesies, always whole numbers. And a 7 or above means that we would buy this wine. And a 4 or below means we would pour this wine down the sink. And a 5 or a 6 means, hey, we'll drink it, but we're not going to buy it. And we might look for something else. Hmm. But, Carmella, what rating? I'm so...
I know, wow.
Radio
wow.
voice. What rating would you give this wine?
Well, I feel like I'm being a little harsh, but...
I think we're a little harsh on the Pinot Noir sometimes.
Yeah, because we love them. Mm-hmm. We really do. And so we, yeah.
What are you giving it?
I'm giving it a 5.
I think I am too. Ooh, I reserve the right to change my vote before the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. But I agree. I would drink it. I would drink it. If somebody was serving it, I would drink it. I'm not going to buy it.
I'm not sure I'd finish it. I'm not sure I would. Not only, remember, guys, I'm just not, I mean, Pinot Noir is my go-to red wine. And so if I don't love this, I'm probably not going to have it.
No.
And
true.
So
true
it's,
that.
Yeah. And it's not, red wine isn't my go-to normally. So yeah, I think 5 is probably
is
as good as it's going to get at this point.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to take a break and we're going to try our next wine and see if we can find one that has a high QPR.
All right.
Okay, we are back and we are ready to try our next wine. This is the Ghost Pines Winemakers Blend Pinot Noir. It's from California. It's a 2016, so it's a little on the older end. It's $10.99, again, at wine.com is where we bought it. 13.9% alcohol, 100% Pinot Noir. And this is the one that Wine Spectator gave a 90 rating. Hmm. Carmella, what are you smelling?
Ooh. Well, it's kind of...
Yikes.
I know. I don't know. We're trying to figure it out. It smells a little bit like vinegar.
I'm a little worried this wine is corked.
Yeah, but there's a little bit of like black licorice on it.
Yeah, but it's got a little bit of like wet cement, basementy.
A little musty, a little vinegary.
Very musty. I'm a little worried. Mushroomy. I'm a little worried it's turned. I'm a little worried it's a corked wine. We haven't had, I don't know that we've ever run into a corked wine.
I don't know either. Maybe early on, but.
I kind of don't think we have. So ladies and gentlemen, this may be our first foray into corked wine.
Wow.
So just in case you're curious about what a corked wine means, it doesn't mean the cork has gone into the wine. Although in this case, it did have a cork.
It did.
And a little bit of cork, a little piece of cork is in my wine, but that's not what it has to do with. It has to do with the fact that the cork failed or something about the cork, too much air got to the wine and it is turned, and they tend to be smell like a wet basement, wet dog, wet paper, newspaper on a cement slab. They just like they
You're
smell
not
musty.
Sure, you should put them in your body.
Exactly. So I'm kind of getting those smells.
I know. And it's one of those things. Oof. I'm a little bit turned off by the smell and a little concerned about what it's going to do to my insides.
Yeah. It's weird. When I swirl it, I kind of don't get as much of that, but it does not smell like a Pinot Noir.
No.
It does not have fruit. If anything, it smells like the basement. Okay, so we're going to try it and see what we think. And see if
you're going to try it. I'm going to try it. See what happens to you. He's still alive. He's fading. No. What do you think?
Well, it doesn't taste that bad. It doesn't. No, I'm being serious. Like,
I love a wine that doesn't taste
that
bad.
A corked wine will have a really strong smell too. It doesn't like
taste, you mean?
Yeah, I mean it's a strong taste. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really have much of a taste at all.
Not super fruity.
No, I mean there's not much going on.
Yeah, I don't.
I can't get that smell out.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's something. I mean, there's nothing going on. There's no
there's
fruit
really
on
no
it.
No fruit. Yeah,
not. It's got kind of a bitter, weird bitter taste. Almost a little bit metallic. Like almost a little bit like, I know lead pencil can be something that you actually want in a wine, but like that's all I can taste is like pencil shavings.
It'll
I can't
be
even taste fruit.
To hear what people taste.
Almost like metallic. Ooh, almost yeah. Tastes a little bit metallic.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know that we can actually rate this wine.
Right, fairly.
Because I think this is a corked bottle. And this is really weird. Like I can't believe we've never run it. There's something like, I think with wines in a cork, with a cork in them, the failure rate is relatively high. It's like 2 or 3%. It's not like nothing.
Right.
It's not like it never happens. It's just not, you know, you don't run into it every day. I mean.
What are some other signs? I mean,
well,
obviously the
color,
cork didn't look bad.
No, you're right. Like it didn't look at the cork. I mean, you don't see liquid all the way through it or anything like that. Mm-mm. But I will say the color of this wine is exceptionally dark.
Yeah, it's a little brown on
brown
around the edges.
And
too.
Browning is a sign of corkage.
Ah.
And actually age, but like this isn't an old enough wine to be aged like that. It's a little bit like
murky,
you know, murky, little, but more so that kind of, it's almost more brown. I mean, you expect, like that first wine we had was super red.
Right.
Super
for
red.
For Pinot, I mean, that's
you
how,
expect
yeah,
that.
It was bright, and this one is a lot duller.
Yeah. So I don't think we're going to rate this wine. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to talk about what food we'd have with it, because I think it's a bad bottle.
Because we're not going to really be eating with it.
No. So sorry about that, but it's actually kind of exciting. In
Woo!
Some ways, it's kind of exciting.
It is?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
We're going to have a party.
All right. So, it's just funky. Like,
yeah.
I wish you guys could smell it. I wish we had a smell podcast.
I was glad you didn't say smell-o-vision.
Smell-o-vision.
That's a whole different thing.
That
but
is.
The same kind of thing.
Smell podcast. Pod smell
podcast. I like that.
Okay.
Smell podcast.
Well, we're going to take a break and wipe out our mouths, and we're going to try. You didn't even taste it, did you?
Well, I put it on my lips, but I wasn't,
what
like
did
I said,
you think? No.
I just didn't you really did. Want to put this in my body. And I say that sometimes, but this one I really was like, this could turn me inside out.
Yeah, I feel like I'm drinking a dog, like an actual dog. Like, you know, if you ever kissed a wet dog?
Probably.
That's what it kind of tastes like.
Dog.
It kind of tastes like a wet dog.
Ooh.
Like you kissed a wet dog.
You don't want to drink wine that tastes like a wet dog.
That's generally not on the list. That is not high QPR. Okay, we're going to take a break and hopefully pray to God that our last wine, we find some salvation.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Okay, we are back and we are ready to try our last wine and hoping that this wine will turn out okay. I will say it's a screw cap, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
And the color is nice.
Yeah.
It's a little darker actually than the first one, but it has that clarity. It's not kind of like cloudy like the last one. It's not super dark. It's got nice color on it. Okay. This is the Underwood Pinot Noir. It's from Oregon, 2021. Don't say Oregon. It's Oregon. It's a 2021, $13.99 at wine.com. Only 13% alcohol, 100% Pinot Noir. And Wine Enthusiast gave this wine a 90 rating. So, Carmela, what?
I'm just cracking up because the Underwood, I mean, the labels, it's like they don't very try
plain.
Very hard.
No, very plain.
But it's, yeah, it's like you recognize them. Like, right, you don't even have to read the letters. You just know it's an Underwood.
Yeah, you see the way the styling of the font and how it's set up, right. And you know what
they
it is.
They kept the expectations just as is, yeah. all the way across the board.
What do you think when you see the wine label?
I think of canned wines, actually.
But it's also kind of unpretentious.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of modern. It's modern looking.
It's modern. It's consistent, you know. So I like it. I actually like this black label, too.
I do, too. I like black for Halloween. No. Ooh. Okay, so what are you smelling? First of all, no wet dog. I'm not smelling basement, wet dog, or wet cement.
So I'm getting some black cherry. Mm-hmm. Or dark cherry, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of getting that dirt again, maybe, or earth.
Yeah, when you swirl it, you get a little bit of that earth or clay kind of. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you. Cherry. It's got a nice cherry smell. Mm-hmm. It's not overpowering. I'm getting a little flower, like a little rose or something. There's flowers. There's some sort of flowers in there.
Okay.
Fresh flowers.
I was going to just ask if it was like a potpourri.
No, it's more like fresh flowers. Okay. It's a nice smell. I like what I'm smelling. Maybe I'm just praying like I'm going to like it.
Oh, you know, please, my
please.
God.
We can't do a whole episode in high QPR Pinot Noir and not find one.
Oh, no. Oh,
I'm so bummed about that corked wine. Okay, let's try it and see what we think.
Okay. Ooh.
Yeah. It's very tart cherry.
Yeah.
It's got more of that kind of, it's not quite the elegance or subtlety of a European wine.
Right, I agree.
Pinot Noir, but it does have that lightness to it. It's very balanced and light, and it's not overpowering. It kind of dances on the tongue.
It's a, party it's nice. In your mouth.
No, no, it doesn't. No, I'm not saying that, but it's nice. It's light and easy to drink.
It kind of tastes young.
Does taste young. It is a 2021, so it is still pretty young.
Yes, yeah, but no, it's nice. It's pleasant. I think it would be good with food. Like, I think you'd like
But what are you tasting first?
Well, I'm kind of getting some of that, too, some of that tart cherry.
Mm-hmm.
Funny enough, I think there's even a little bit of citrus in it or something.
I think there is something citrusy.
Blossom.
And I'm getting tannins in it. Like, I feel like I'm getting tannin, almost like grape skins.
Okay.
Like, you can taste the extraction of the wine. Like, I'm getting some grape skin on it. You know that taste? And it's kind of that, like, tea, almost like tea kind of dryness on it.
Like a tea bag. Like a little, like it's sat in your tea bag hot water too long.
Sounds dirty. Okay, no. But you know what I'm saying? Okay, I know we talked about this before, but when you were little, did you ever peel grapes and eat the grape skin? Come on, you know you did.
I'm sure I did.
And that's kind of got the little taste
on it. Yeah, it does.
And
it does.
It's like some weird kind of tannin-y texture.
Yeah. It's a little bit dry. I was just going to say, it dries out your tongue. It does. Yeah. And it is. What is that?
That's the tannin. I think that's where a lot of the tannins come from. It was not coming from the oak. You know, I'm getting a little bit of cherry, that tartness, but it's not like... It's a tart cherry.
It is.
It's not even like a sweet cherry. It's you know what it reminds me of? If there's going to be any kind of candy, it's like a sour cherry candy.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
I love a sour cherry candy.
But without the sugar.
It's not super sweet.
It's not super sweet.
Yeah, it's like they forgot to put the sugar in.
You're like, oops, we just put the sour part on it.
We like that, but that's why I think you would want to eat with this wine.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
What would you eat with it?
I'm also getting a little bit of like tart blueberry. Getting a tiny bit of tart. Like if you ever had a real tart blueberry.
I love a tart
blueberry. But do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But do you agree with it?
I think so. I don't.
You don't agree with it.
It's more cherry.
You don't agree with it. She doesn't agree.
Buddy, you're going to have to deal with it. You have to agree to disagree with me.
Disagree and commit. Disagree and commit. Okay.
28 years later.
Disagree and commit. Right. All
right. Right.
Okay.
So get over it. No, but the blueberry is not coming through. I would almost
tart though, like a really tart or sour one.
But I would probably say more like a raspberry.
Okay, fine. Freaking
tart
raspberry. I'm with you. I'll buy it. I'll buy it for
you. Will
a really tart fruit?
I don't need you to buy it.
Okay, but a really tart fruit. Anyway, what I would eat with this? I think I would eat. It's a meat wine. It's definitely a meat wine. I think it's a red meat wine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a filet mignon.
Something fancy?
I think a little bit fancier. Like, I think it would do okay with a cheeseburger, but I actually think a really, like, heavy, like, a really grilled kind of meat might be a little bit too much with it. I think it'd be really nice with chicken. Mm-hmm. I think it'd really be really nice with like a baked chicken or like a coq au vin, you know, like a, you know, like,
yes,
you know.
I do think that I was thinking like a potato dish would be okay. good with it too.
Okay, what kind, like a, like your mom made a potato au gratin?
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking that that would be nice with chives. I don't know why.
What about, wow, chives and sour cream. What about an eggplant parmigiana then?
Yeah, for sure.
Cheesy. You're thinking cheesy.
I'm thinking cheese with this
pizza.
Wine. Pizza would be really nice.
A pizza.
I think it would have to be
Neapolitan kind of pizza.
I was just gonna say, like a pizza oven pizza.
Yeah, not like a real like bready.
Not like Domino. Oh, you're so down. We shouldn't say that. No, I mean I don't mind it, but I do think it. Yeah, wood fired pizza.
Pizza with a little bit of grill marks on it.
Would you want sausage on it? Like a.
Sounds personal. I don't know.
No.
Yes.
I'm just thinking. Would you do a meaty pizza?
Yeah, but I don't really love sausage on my pizza. I would do more salami and pepperoni.
You don't like sausage on your pizza?
God. There's so many things you still don't know about me.
But you get the Salentino somewhere. You get some sort of sausage pizza.
I never get a sausage pizza, ever.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay.
Your mom might, but I do not.
Okay.
I get a lot of pepperoni. Mm. My God. We're going to have a fight after this show.
Wow. Okay.
What would you eat with it?
Well, same. I just said it. Like to do cheesy potatoes.
You want some sausage?
No. And I don't want a cheeseburger. Okay. But I will. But like, no, cheesy potatoes. I think it'd be nice with a roast, too.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, there you go. I agree.
Don't you
actually
think?
A roast would be nice.
Like a fall. This mm-hmm. is kind of a fall.
It's a fall wine.
Yeah.
I agree. Okay. What rating would you give this wine, Carmelita?
So this is challenging for me because I'm not. I think it is a good QPR. Like mm-hmm. I do think if you're looking for a nice Pinot,
yeah,
I'm not
and
saying
you don't
like,
want to spend a lot of money,
right?
It's like, not going to blow your socks off.
No, but if you're feeling like Pinot, this has a lot of the qualities of a Pinot.
Yeah,
and it's a nice price.
And I actually think you could serve it a little chilled too.
True.
Side note,
and you can anyway. Have this any day of the week and not feel like you were breaking the bank.
Yep.
So I think I would give it a 7.
Okay.
Mostly because of the high QPR.
I'm giving it a 7 as well.
Okay.
I think it's a fair rating. I don't think it's a 10. I don't think it's a 5. I think it's a good wine. I'd buy it. 7 means I'd buy it. I like it.
Right.
And I agree. It's a high QPR, especially for the price point. It's only $13.99.
Right. And I like Underwood. I want to support him.
And then I think this is an easy one. Which one are you finishing tonight?
I'm going with the Underwood.
Yeah, we both are.
The Underwood.
Okay, so let's talk about the taste profiles expected from American Pinot Noirs. Mm-hmm. Wine Folly says a California one will have sweet black cherry to black raspberry, secondary aromas of vanilla, clove, Coca-Cola, and caramel.
Wow.
In an Oregon Pinot, cranberry. See, we didn't. That's tart. Bing cherry.
Cranberry is a good.
Yeah,
descriptor, though,
I think that was a good one. Yeah. Fruit flavors and secondary aromas of truffle mushrooms, and sometimes even a green dandelion stem flavor. So the Rickshaw Pinot Noir, the winery says, bright red fruit aromas of raspberries, strawberries, and Rainier cherries are complemented with notes of vanilla, cedar, and nutmeg. We definitely got cedar.
A lot of wood on it.
Toasted oak, light fruit, and mm-hmm. spice flavors are persistent on the palate.
Ah.
Buy Wines Online says it greets the nose with enticing aromas of ripe cherries, cranberries, and a hint of spice. The palate reveals flavors of red fruit, black tea, and a touch of earthiness.
Okay.
Wine enthusiasts, fine notes of red cherry, cranberry, black tea, fresh and dried roses, basil, tarragon, toasted wood, and desert dust earthiness.
Okay. So we were getting some of that earthiness and the spice, but, you know, not... Interesting that they had so much fruit on it.
I agree. We didn't get a ton of fruit.
No.
Ghost Pines, for what it's worth, because we didn't get any of this. Wine Spectator says, complex and spicy, offering wild plum, blackberry spice, and tea flavors that show subtle herb shadings, ending with dusty, loamy tannins and good length. So we definitely got a bad bottle.
Yeah.
Like, it was corked. There's no question about it. It doesn't talk about kissing a wet dog.
No.
Yeah.
And that, I would think, would be a deal breaker for any bottle.
So that was just a bad bottle. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't happen. I'm shocked it hasn't happened before. But
it's a good thing to have it happen
totally.
So people know, like, it is a thing. You don't have to drink something if it does taste like a wet dog.
A wet dog. You don't have to drink
it. You can know that it's bad.
Yeah, exactly. And Underwood Pinot Noir, the winery says notes of raspberry, cocoa nib, and vanilla bean.
I said raspberry.
Mm,
I remember you were saying blueberry.
Mm-hmm. Wine enthusiast says aromas of dusty roadside raspberries, grig, and a wee bit of cantaloupe. Let's see. Flavors like strawberry jam on toast, beeswax, and bittersweet dark chocolate complement a shot of espresso. That's weird. And the tastings.com says aromas and flavors of ripe strawberry, cocoa nibs, and red cherry, mushroom, and pipe tobacco, and mesquite.
Oh my God. They didn't miss anything on that. No. I mean, whoa.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
Medium length finish, manifesting notes of toasted citrus peel. You got with citrus. Mm-hmm. Sauteed mushrooms, red bramble berries, and black tea. We were getting a little bit of that
but
tea.
But I feel like they're really...
They're just trying everything.
They're like, look, if we
Let's
say
just
it
throw
all...
throw all the flavors in there. Somebody's going to go, oh, I tasted that. All right. Well, anyway, I think, thank God that we found one high UPR Pinot Noir. Thank you, God.
Yes. Okay. And I think it's going to be a good one.
Yep. I think so. I think
to have in your back pocket.
Yeah. And you know what? Get it in the can.
Yeah.
Feel free.
It's so fun to drink it, to have them. Except remember, a can is
half a bottle of wine. Don't forget it. Don't forget it.
Tell your friends.
That's right. Don't forget it. Okay, Carmela, it's time for us to go. But before we do want to thank you all very much for listening to us. And if you haven't done so yet, now would be a real good time to subscribe to the podcast. And also a real good time to leave us a nice rating and review so that, you know, people will find us and go, oh my gosh, these people are awesome.
Why are you holding out? Why have you been holding out?
Don't hold on us. We'd love to hear from you and maybe about a wine you'd like us to taste and review. You can leave a message for us on our website, thewinepairpodcast.com, and you can join our email newsletter there. And remember what I said, if you email me at joe@thewinepairpodcast.com, I will send you the newsletter if you didn't get it.
And
you
What's can just, the cutoff? Like if I, no, 2 weeks or somebody's like, hey,
I don't care. Just email me.
Okay.
And I promise I'll respond. I'm good about responding.
I know.
All right. So with that, we're going to sign off. And so thank you again. And we'll see you next time. And like we like to say, life is short. So stop drinking shitté wine. And we had a shitté wine today.
Ooh.
But not on that. It wasn't the wine's fault.
No.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Why did I say thank you? Okay. Bye.
Bye.